From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we'll be continuing with our studies in Luke's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 45. We're thinking of the faith that was exhibited by the Virgin Mary when, as a young woman, she received the message of the angel Gabriel saying that though she knew not a man, she would give birth to a son. He would be indeed the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. We're going to look at her response of faith. Blessed indeed was she that believed. There was a performance of all the things that God had promised unto her. We're going to be looking at the blessings of believing God. And in today's broadcast, we'll be thinking particularly as we consider this young woman's faith of the object of her faith and how it was placed in the sovereign triune God of Holy Scripture. All that's in a few minutes, but first we have our daily devotional Bible study for today, which is taken from John chapter 18 and verse 38. The flawless Redeemer, the words that were spoken by Pontius Pilate, I find no fault in him at all. In his attempt to release Christ from the hands of the Jews, Pilate stated a tremendous truth when he said these words. I find in him no fault at all. Seven times the Gospels record Pilate's testimony to the innocence of Christ. Every believer bears the very same testimony to Christ. We find no fault with him. We find no fault as we look at the record of his walk on this earth. Rather, we know that his perfect life earned for us a positive righteousness that God imputes to our account. We think of his death, and we find no fault at all in his death. His death was a sacrifice, an offering for our sins, and it was without blemish. Peter says that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. His was the blood of God manifested in the flesh. All the blood belongs to the humanity of Christ. But never forget the dignity of the person. He is the God-man. The Lord Jesus shed that precious blood to make satisfaction for our sin, to satisfy divine justice against our sin, to wash away the guilt and the pollution of our sin, to remove from us the condemnation of our sin, and to purchase for us a place with himself in glory. Oh, we find no fault in Christ's life or in Christ's death. Thank God we find no fault in his resurrection, for on the third day, as appointed, he rose a victor o'er the powers of death and hell. He shook the world with terror and amazement by the appearance of his crucified but now perfect and glorified body. Not only do we find no fault in Christ, but his Father finds no fault in him. The Lord Jesus appears in the Father's presence for us. The Father sees his Son who shed his blood to seal the everlasting covenant, presenting that precious blood on our behalf. And thank God he's well satisfied. He finds no fault in Christ. It is this faultless Savior who shall one day present his redeemed people as perfect before the Father in heaven. Therefore, let us continue, as Jude 24 says, to look unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And our thought for the day, Christ takes possession of us on earth and for us in heaven.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know that Jesus lives. And on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know his promise never fails. The word he speaks, it cannot die. Oh, cruel death my flesh assaileth, yet I shall see him by and by. I know my mansion he
couple of weeks here in Let the Bible Speak, we have been bringing to your attention a special offer of our 2007 Let the Bible Speak calendar. Actually, a few ministries get together and produce a calendar that I think people will like and will have the effect of bringing the ministry before the people of God so that they may pray for it. This calendar features scripture from day to day. It also is something good to put in the hands of those who are not saved because it contains a simple statement of the Lord's way of salvation. It is something that will encourage you to pray and hold this ministry before the Lord. It's also pleasing to the eye. We have some beautiful scenes from the northern part of Ireland. And as many of you will know, Let the Bible Speak is a ministry that commenced in Northern Ireland in 1973. And since then has been broadcasting the gospel to literally millions of people around the world. The Way of Life calendar is available to you free of charge. We would like to have the privilege of sending you your copy. All you've got to do is request it. You may write to us, email us, or call us toll free. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address, ltbs@freepres.org. And you may call us toll free at 1-866-877-5827. That is 1-866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you, and I'm sure that you will enjoy using our Words of Life calendar that we'll bring to you for a prayer request week by week, day by day, the ministry of Let the Bible Speak.
Church of God, beloved and chosen, Church of Christ, for whom He died, claim Thy gifts and praise Thy Giver. Ye are washed and sanctified, sanctified by God the Father and by Jesus Christ His Son, and by God the Holy Spirit, holy, holy, three in one. Holiness by faith in Jesus, not by effort of thine own, sin's dominion crushed and broken by the power of grace alone. God's own holiness within thee, His own beauty on thy brow, this shall be thy pilgrim brightness, this thy blessed portion now.
Yesterday we commenced looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 45. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The speaker here was Elizabeth, and she was the wife of Zechariah, the priest. She was soon to be the mother of John the Baptist. She was the cousin of the woman of whom she was speaking, namely the Virgin Mary. You remember the angel Gabriel had appeared to Mary and promised her that she would bear a son. She would bear the Messiah. This would be a virgin birth, a miraculous conception and birth. Mary, despite the challenge to faith that such an announcement made, believed God and willingly gave herself to be the instrument of God's purpose and the fulfillment of God's promise. I noted yesterday that Elizabeth had seen her husband, who was an eminent man of God, stumble at the promise that she would bear a son, because Elizabeth was past childbearing age. But however, that was a challenge to faith, but it was much less of a challenge than the promise of a virgin birth. That was so totally impossible biologically. All history cried out against its possibility, but God said He was going to do it. And indeed in the Old Testament He had promised from the beginning that this is what He would do. So when Elizabeth saw her husband balk at a promise, you remember he was smitten dumb by God for a number of months until John was actually born, because he balked at the promise and he showed unbelief. Now we have this woman looking at this young woman. And Elizabeth is amazed at her faith, and she says, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I stated yesterday that I don't think in all of Scripture there is a greater example of perfect trust in God coupled with such self-devotion to the Lord and to His purpose. In many ways, the words of our text, Luke 1:45, state the obvious. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance, that is, by the Lord, of the things that He told her. You see, such faith as Mary's could not be anything else but blessed. Such faith as Mary's, indeed, let me say, any true faith, must be blessed. It's impossible for it to be otherwise. God could never fail to honor faith by failing to fulfill the promise that that faith so fully believed. God cannot deny Himself. He cannot lie. He cannot go back on His word. There is no lack of power in him to do what he has said he is going to do. So with no lack of power and with absolute faithfulness to his own word guaranteed, we may be absolutely certain that the obvious statement of this text is one that we can trust everything to. Faith in God's word will be blessed, it will be rewarded, and God will never fail to honor it. He will never fail to fulfill the promise that he gives and that we believe. So there's something obvious here. But this text states more than the obvious. It bears a message to every believer, even to those believers whose faith never receives the challenge that Mary's did, or never scales the heights that Mary's faith scaled. The more we consider Mary and her faith, the more we will see the parallel between her and all of God's believing people. And the more we will appreciate the glorious meaning of this text. The meaning of the text is simply this: the Lord always shows his favor to his believing people by performing for them all that he has promised. Now that is a simple statement, but let me tell you, it's a vital statement. I want you to get it. I trust you'll learn it. I trust that it will find a lodging place in your heart. The Lord always shows his favor to his believing people by performing for them all that he has promised. So I want us to consider the blessings of believing God. We'll see this in Mary's particular case, but we'll go on to consider its message for our own lives. Though our personal experience will be different from Mary's, the great fundamental truths we see in Luke 1:45 belong just as much to you and me as Christians as they did to her. So let's go back to Luke 1:45. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. We want to start off by considering the object of Mary's faith. Mary's faith and trust were placed in the Lord God of Israel. This portion speaks of him as the highest, the Lord God. You should note the references in Luke chapter 1 to the highest, to the Son of the highest, to the Holy Spirit. These are vital references to the Godhead. In other words, this is vital, Mary's faith was placed in the sovereign God of heaven and earth, in the Trinity of his sacred persons. Let's understand that. He's the sovereign God. He's the highest. He is over all. The Lord God is the absolute God. He's the one who is in total control. He is the King of glory. He is the absolute monarch of heaven, earth, and hell. Angels, men, and devils are subject to his will. He is the highest. That does not indicate that there are others of almost equal rank. It says he is absolutely high. He is uniquely high. He is the exalted one. He is the one true, everlasting, sovereign, absolute God. He is the highest. I have asked you to note the reference to the highest and then to the Son of the highest and then to the Holy Spirit. There you have the three persons of the Trinity. And you should understand this, that Mary's faith was in the sovereign God who controlled all things. But her faith was in the sovereign God of heaven and earth, in the Trinity of his sacred persons, and that was why she could believe the angel's message, for with the triune God of Israel, nothing shall be impossible. Now that's the constant conviction of all true faith in all who exercise such faith. It is true, for example, of saving faith. Saving faith makes the triune God the sole object of its trust. Now here I am going against the tide of politically correct and popular theology. There is a notion abroad today that people of faith more or less stand on an even plateau of equal acceptance with God as long as they're sincere in their faith. It doesn't matter whether they are Buddhists or whether they're Muslims or whether they're Jews or whether they're Roman Catholics or whether they're Lutherans or whether they're Baptists. Doesn't matter whether they're Christian or whether they're heathen. This is the theory today. People of faith, as long as they are sincere in their faith, will find mercy with God and they are all right. And there's a certain amount, therefore, of good in every religion. That's the notion that's going around today. You have people like Billy Graham even going so far as to spout this rubbish. He went on Robert Shuler's TV program, and they both could agree on this, that they were expecting many heathens who lived and died without any knowledge of the name of Jesus Christ, nonetheless, to be in heaven. And Graham has given voice to the utmost heresy, the ultimate denial of Christ, when he went so far as to say that God would deal with these people according to how they lived, up to the light that they had, and thereby they would be saved. That's what he expected. Now, if that's true, you have salvation apart from Jesus Christ, apart from the merits of Christ, apart from the obedience of Christ, apart from faith in Christ appropriating his righteousness that's imputed to us as the only ground of our acceptance with God. That's a denial of all that. You see, Graham is now talking in real terms about people who are justified before God by living up to the light of their own religion and by doing the best they can apart from Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, my friend, that is absolute heresy. The very first thing you've got to note of true saving faith is that it makes the triune God of Scripture its object. We find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 of the elect that they're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice the emphasis again on the Trinity. Notice that the obedience of faith is a Trinitarian grace. Later in this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, we learn that by Christ we believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Men and women, let me tell you, saving faith makes the triune God the sole object of its trust. It believes nothing is impossible with him. It believes that God, who is totally just and holy, can yet justify the ungodly and save people who personally deserve to be damned. So it's true of saving faith that it makes God its object. It's true also of sanctifying faith. We are sanctified by the continuing action of the very faith by which we entered into life. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Many of us face many difficulties in life. Some of you are going through very tough times. Sanctification is bringing you down a rough road. Think of Psalm 42 and verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. True faith, whether to save us or sanctify us and lead us on in holiness, always has the living triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as its proper object. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.